I do encourage you at some point through the day tomorrow to be sure that you remember those on Memorial Day who need to be remembered, families of those that have loved ones who have paid that sacrifice. It is a special day, and with that before us, I am inclined to do some remembering, especially of Christ, our Lord, who secured salvation, who paid the price of His life to buy us. I certainly thank the Lord that He has allowed me to be born in this nation. And I pray that you'll remember that. It is a blessing. I've been to some other nations over the course of my short life, and we are indeed blessed. And we have a lot to be grateful for before our God. And so this discipline of remembering is something that I want us to focus on this morning, because it's not only important to remember special holidays and why we have them, but to remember our Lord and His faithfulness to provide us with every necessity for life. Each morning when I'm in my office, my prayer time is the first thing that happens. I come in early before activity begins happening in the building, because I am easily distracted, and it's easier for me to come into a quiet place and to begin my meditation and speaking with the Lord. And when I enter into my prayer time, I have noticed just this week, I have a lot of pictures. I have some things to remind me. And while this picture seems to be kind of dusty, it is a picture of my wife, and I keep a picture of Laura near my desk because I consider her a gift from God, and I want to, each day I pray for her each morning. She is in my heart. I pray for my mother. I pray for our kids. In fact, the pictures of my daughters are special because they're me dancing with them at their weddings. And that is my oldest, Sarah, and this is my youngest, Bethany, which is kind of fuzzy. She promised to get me a non-fuzzy picture one day. And I guess I'll have to wait about 3 years to get one of those. I also remember my brothers. I have two brothers, and while we had difficulties growing up, they're precious to me. They're friends. We can cut up with each other and laugh as if we've never laughed before, because we have Christ, all of us. And so that is a particular blessing to me. You might have noticed I didn't pick up this last frame right away. It's because I'm a Spurs fan, and I went to a game 1 year, and this reminds me also of the special place that churches have in a pastor's heart. The church at Carrizo Springs, and this is by no means a hint, we were there for 15 years, and one of the anniversaries as we got up there was to go to Spurs game, and we sat on like the fifth row from the floor in the middle half court, and felt the sweat from the players, and it was incredible. But saved the ticket stubs, and one of the ladies that was instrumental in making sure that happened took my ticket stub down to Sean Elliott to get an autograph. And so I have that in this picture frame, and I really enjoy listening to Sean Elliott now as a broadcaster. Enjoyed him as a player, but those are things I remember. And they help me remember not just the previous church I served, but the preciousness of the church I serve today. Everybody in this church is different, but everybody in this church has been entrusted to my care. That's a big deal to me. And I don't want to forget that. And I put these mementos not as idols, but as remembrances, Because without them, I will easily forget. I will move on to other things. But this has to be a devotion for me in my prayer time, and I'm grateful that I have them. But we also need to remember that we have the strong and true and solid, unchanging Word of God that we have access to, and we should be remembering that word, because that's what helps us along the path. I'd invite you to stand with me. We have one verse to read for now. One verse out of Psalm 119, verse 16. The psalmist writes these within a larger context, obviously. But he said, I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. I shall delight in your statutes, and I shall not forget your word. Father, as we springboard from this incredible passage, we pray that you give us insight this morning. Lord, bring to our remembrance the first moment that you converted us from the old man into the new. Remind us of each of the places along the way in our walk where you have proven yourself without a doubt to be faithful God, provider for our needs. Remind us this morning, Father, for every time that we have opened up the precious Word of God and we've looked into it and you spoke into our hearts like never before. And Father God, may this morning, may we sense that renewed again as we count blessed your provision of your word. We do thank you for those that we remember this weekend paying that price for us. We thank you for our Savior Jesus paying that price for us. And we thank you, Father, for allowing us to pray to you in His name as we look to you for truth this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. That passage comes out of the longest psalm in the Bible, the longest chapter in the Bible. And I can't say it's right smack dab in the middle because it's only verse 16. There are 176 verses in Psalm 119. And it has a special arrangement for itself, and you can look into that later. We'll not spend a lot of time on that. But throughout the course of Psalm 119, the psalmist's topic is the value and the power of the Word of God in his life. We see this writer as one who loved God and loved God's truth. There's a danger in becoming so attached to rules that we become legalistic and uncaring without compassion and mercy in our dealing with others. But if we are faithful to eat of the Word of God and to chew on it for a long period of time and to allow it to properly be digested in us, we will find ourselves being transformed into these very truths that have been given to us. So there has to be a discipline of getting ourselves into these verses and then allowing them to do its work in us. In this particular verse, the psalmist, he declares a truth. He says, I will delight in your statutes. Sometimes that's not easy to declare. I oftentimes find myself looking through the Word, and instead of being delighted with what I find there, being confronted with what I find there. And really wanting to turn the page quickly and find another verse that I can get along with. And I suspect many of you feel the same way. There are times when you look at the Word of God and it's it's soothing and it ministers to you and it brings peace and power and comfort and it brings a salve, a warmth. And then there can be other times you read it and it smacks you between the eyes like a brick and you want to just get away from there as fast as you can. This is the nature of the Word of God. The Apostle Paul spoke about the value of the Word, but the Hebrew writer, he said the Word's like a sharp two-edged sword, the same Word that can bring peace and comfort and strength and can guide you and instruct you in things is also the same Word that will whip you and chastise you and rebuke you back into the right place. That is the great power of the Word of God. Its great value is that it does bring soothing and strength and comfort. But it's also valuable in that it gets us on the right track. It slaps us back into reality and helps us to focus on where we should be. And the psalmist says, I delight in your statutes. I find my joy. I find that it's sweet to me like the honeycomb. It's never so hard that it's bitter and ruins me. It always gives me health. Honey in the Holy Land is for health. You may have noticed. You can go to the grocery store and in HEB you find Texas honey raised from local bees. And if you take some of that local honey, it'll help you fight off local allergies. I've been eating honey like crazy around here lately. Honey is good for you. It's healthy for you. And the Word of God is healthy for you, even if it's uncomfortable for a while. It is designed that way by the very Lord Himself. I delight in your statutes. And Psalm 119 does this. It's words, commands, judgments, testimonies, laws, precepts. He gives it all kinds of names, but it is the Word of God that He delights in. It is the instruction and the judgments of Almighty God that He finds His delight and His joy and His health inside of. And the second part of that, I shall not forget your word. This is really a vow, a commitment by the psalmist to say, I will do everything I'm able to do to remember your word. To not forget the value of it, to not forget that lesson that spoke so true to me in that moment, even if it rebuked me and brought me to a place where I was uncomfortable for a season, I will not forget that word. Listen, that is what keeps us in line with Him. I am grateful for the Holy Spirit who comes in and convicts us. Because you know, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, I will send Him to remind you of all things that I've taught you. Thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit, because if it were left up to me, I'd forget it all and go out in reckless abandon and find myself ruined in stupidity because I forgot it all. But the Holy Spirit remembers and brings to my remembrance and holds me in check and gives me self-control and restraint and the ability to be able to resist temptation. The things that come natural to me, the Word of God comes against all of that. And I'm grateful and I'm thankful the Holy Spirit reminds me of that along the way. I want to be like this psalmist and I want to commit and make a vow to Him to say, I will not forget your words. I want to make them my very life. It was Jesus who said, the bread of the Lord, the work of the Lord is my bread. It's my, to remember His word, to remember His mission, to remember His work, that was His sustenance. The disciples ran into town, if you remember, in Matthew chapter 4, when they, was it Matthew 4 or John 4, when He talked to the woman at the well. And they ran into town to get Him some food. By the time they got back, He wasn't hungry anymore. Why? Because He'd been doing the work of the Lord. He was sustained by the work of the Lord. He was sustained by the bread of God. That's what the Word of God's our bread. It's our very life. We sing that. Lord, your word is my sustenance. It's what gives me nourishment. And here we find this psalmist: I delight in the word of God even when it's uncomfortable. I will not forget your word. I commit myself to remember that word. I love, it's as if the psalmist says, I recognize my own weakness and inability to be able to accomplish this in my own strength, and so I'm relying upon you, Lord. I will do what I can, that I will not forget your word. And that message of not forgetting has been around a long, long time. Even throughout this song, we find the psalmist pleading with the Lord on several occasions, I will meditate on your word. This is his commitment. I'll spend time in your word. I will spend time before you. I will let the truth of your word come in and invade me and open my eyes and give me direction. And he goes on and says, open my eyes that I'll see these wonderful things from your law. Help me not to look into your law and just gloss over it and move on to the next thing without finding that jewel that you have for me in that verse. Take away reproach and contempt from me as I'm observing your testimonies. That's one of the statements made in this Psalm 119. Take away that contempt. Take away that which separates me from being able to hear you as you speak to me and as you show me this truth. Help me to put that to the side, because that is not good for me. Teach me, give me understanding, make me walk in the path of your commandments. Don't just let me be a hearer of your word, Father, but help me to remember to be a doer of your word, to put it into action, to not be satisfied with having knowledge and being able to tell everybody all the things the Scripture says, but to be a living example of the Scriptures before the world. Just this morning, one of our children came to me. Dad had warned me, boy, my son's got like 100 questions for you. He came with one question. He asked it, and the Lord provided an answer. And I said, did you get that? And he goes, yeah, yeah. And he went away. Oh, well, I knew the answer. I'd read that somewhere in the Scripture. But if not for the Holy Spirit, I may not have remembered and been able to share that and to pass that on to a young, formative mind. It fell my responsibility in that moment. Dad is a very competent man, knows the Scripture, just couldn't find the answer in that moment. And as a dad, I know how that is. You're trying to get 10 kids, well, almost 10, trying to get a bunch of kids ready, and you're trying to answer questions at the same time, and it's just not there. Maybe overwhelmed for a moment. What a blessing to be able to be a help. This is the value of the Word of God and remembering it, having it there, not forgetting it. From the Garden of Eden, the Lord gave instruction to Adam so that Adam would share with his helpmate. We know how that worked. We find that God gave instruction to Noah. Noah built. And then as Noah was out on the water, God remembered Noah. The Scripture says clearly, God remembered Noah. And after a year of being on that boat with those animals and his family, he finally was able to come to land. And you know what Noah did? He remembered God, and he built an altar, and he began to sacrifice animals, praising the Lord for the provision of keeping them. We find that God spoke to Abraham, and he told Abraham, here's my covenant to you. And Abraham remembered the covenant of the Lord, and he shared it with his son, and he shared it with his grandson. And that covenant was passed down generation to generation. And while Israel was in the land of Egypt, became slaves to the Pharaoh, God remembered them, and then they remembered because Moses was sent. And as Moses began in timidity, Moses finished with great power, because Moses remembered his God and the faithfulness of his God and every word that God had given to him. Trust me, I will be there with you. Listen to my commands and I will bless. There are many times where he heard these words of the Lord as he was passing them on to the people. Do not forget the covenant. Do not forget the days you stood before the Lord. Don't forget what your eyes have seen. Don't forget the Lord. There is a continual command through Scripture to not forget. Then we get to the Psalms. Maybe some's like me, familiar, Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that's within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. The one who redeems me, heals my diseases, who saved me from the pit, pardons my iniquity, crowns me with loving kindness and compassion, and satisfies my years with good things, renews your youth. This is our God. Don't forget those things. And God's been faithful to that through the centuries. He's never let up on those who will acknowledge God, that He will not bless them with these truths. God says, don't forget. Don't forget. Last week in Jeremiah's prophecy, remember, God reminded the people, said, if you will bless the Sabbath, keep it holy, remember the Sabbath, I'll bless you. But if you forget the Sabbath, you'll have trouble. Remember the Sabbath. Remember truth. Remember His word. Remember His commands. This past week, reading about the resurrection of Jesus from 24th chapter of Luke, I was reminded, the ladies came to the tomb, and they were coming, they were going to continue and finish preparing the body. It had been buried rather quickly, and so they were coming to do that. They got there, stone was rolled away, there were two men in bright clothes, we know them to be angels, and they gave a message to those ladies. They said, the one you're looking for, he's not here, he's no longer dead, he's alive. Just like He told you. Do you remember how He told you that He was going to die and then He was going to be raised up again? Well, it happened. Go tell His disciples. Do you remember? And then they remembered. And they ran back and they told the disciples, and disciples were, oh, we don't believe all of this. And then some came and saw the tomb, and they came back and told the rest, and they were like, oh, it must be true. Jesus appeared to them later. He said, remember all those things I told you? Here I am. Don't be afraid. Put your fingers in here. Touch me. Give me something to eat. Do you remember? We do well to remember. I love that passage of Scripture where Jesus says, I will send the Holy Spirit, as we mentioned a moment ago. That Holy Spirit will help us remember, because we're prone to not. And so through the course of the week, I was remembering many of the passages that I've memorized and many of the passages that come to mind. There are about 29 one another statements. I'll not mention all of those, but we think about love one another. Be tender-hearted towards one another. Carry one another's burdens. Forgive one another. Help one another. Walk with one another. I think about walk in the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Allow the Spirit to move you to places where you need to be. Do not grieve the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. Have this heart in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, that you yield to one another. These passages of Scripture, among others, give thanks in all things. Be merciful. Remember Jesus' teaching, blessed are the merciful, because those who are merciful will receive mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, bring peace. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, acknowledge their inability before holy God. Walk humbly. Do justice. Embrace righteousness. Love mercy. Resist evil. Hold on to goodness. Present your body a living sacrifice. The command of our Christ to go make disciples, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teach them all things that I've taught you. Make the most of every opportunity that you have. Conduct yourself with wisdom towards one another, especially to those of the family of faith. Let your speech always be seasoned with grace. And then I thought about, be slow to anger, be slow to speak, be quick to listen. Do to others as you would have others do unto you. To live as Christ, to die as gain. Suffer for His sake. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your mind dwell on these things, things that are true and noble and good and right and pure and praiseworthy and lovely and excellent. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Very few places do we find forgetting. Of course, the Apostle Paul said, forget what lies behind and press on towards the prize of Christ. Remembering how he's done that in so many others. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Walk in a manner worthy of the gospel to which you've been called. Set your mind on the things that are above, where Christ is seated with the Father. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Admonish the unruly. Encourage faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with all men. Don't repay evil for evil. Seek after that which is good. Be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Don't wrangle over words, because that just causes trouble. Be diligent to present yourself as a worker, faithful to God, approved, that you might rightly divide the Word of God. Flee from youthful lusts. Pursue righteousness and faith and love, peace. Be subject to rulers and authorities and those into high places, and be ready for every opportunity to do a good deed. Remember that faith, hope, and love are the greatest, but the greatest is love, which should motivate everything we do, say, and think. This morning I wrote another, 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. Do not be anxious in all things, but pray with supplication and thanksgiving before God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds. I don't know about anybody that doesn't need that. Oh, we should remember that. The Lord's Word is good. It's rich. It touches all of us together. It's not just selective. It's real. It's relevant. Whether you lived in the first century when Christ was around, or whether you've lived in the Depression age, or whether you live now, the Word is relevant and meaningful all the time. Never changes. The Word of God is unfading. The flower fades, the grass will wither, all of that will go away, but the Word of God will last forever. And He's proven it. We do well to not forget. I read this past week out of 1 Peter. You're a chosen race. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a people for God's own possession. You once who were not a people, now been made a people. You who had not had mercy before, now you have mercy. What a God. You've been transformed and transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. By no doing of your own, because God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for our sin. He has taken Him in whom there was found no sin and made Him sin so that the righteousness of God may be found in those who have Christ. God's Word is rich and powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces down to the depths of soul and spirit, and it judges the intentions and thoughts of a man. And it's profitable for doctrine, for correction, for truth, for instruction in righteousness. It is God's gift to us. The Word of Christ is living and written. And He desires to reveal Himself to us every moment of every day, and we have been told in His Word to not forget Him. I had a scripture marked in my Bible last week that I was going to bring up, and I'm going to bring it up this week because it applies. It's out of Isaiah chapter 49. And it says this, Zion said, "The Lord's forsaken me and the Lord's forgotten me." And so a question is posed, can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? And even though these may forget, I will not forget you because I've inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are always before me. The Lord God's giving a promise to Israel. And for those who have embraced Christ, that promise is still true for you. You are the apple of His eye. You are His sweet possession. Don't forget. And all of that because of His grace. It's by grace through faith that you are saved. It's not that of yourself, but it's a gift of God. Not of any works that you've done, lest any man should go out and boast about his salvation. But you are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that He has beforehand ordained that you should be walking in those works. So let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who even though He was God, did not count it as a thing to be embraced or held on to. Jesus Christ, being found in fashion as a man, humbled Himself. And even though He was found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself to the point of death and even death on the cross. And because of that, God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He is the end all. Scripture says that all things have been created by Him and for Him. And now, for those who exercise faith in Him, you are His possession. You are cared for. Believer, we need to remember these truths. To remember, we need to be exposed to those truths. If you do not have a regular habit of getting in the Word of God, I will encourage you again. This is not January 1st, which is normally when I command you on, challenge you on that, but get into His Word, because that's where you'll find your health. It's where you'll find your direction. That is where you'll find your strength. That's where you'll find your correction. And it's necessary. And if you know it, then you won't forget it. Get into it. Remember also those who have yet to hear that Jesus died for their sin, and recognize that by living out the truth of God's Word, you may be the very Bible that someone needs to see in order for their lives to be challenged and transformed. And there's even one more thing. There may be someone in this place, you've never trusted Christ. Perhaps this morning, by the quoting of Scripture and the declaring of God's Word, your heart is being stirred. Perhaps you're acknowledging a bit of conviction. Maybe you might call it guilt for not believing God, not accepting His offer of salvation in the past. But this morning, something's happening inside of you, and you are sensing that He's moving you to be surrendered to Him. There's no special prayer. Just to walk the aisle and come stand up here in front of people doesn't make you one of God's. But I will tell you, a transformation in your heart, you will not be mistaken. Because God, when He comes in and transforms, you will know it. And if you're a true believer, you will want the world to know it with you. And it starts with the church family. Maybe this morning, the Lord's helped you to recognize that you're a sinner. Great need of all of the provision that God provides through Christ Jesus, as we've mentioned this morning, that He was willing to come out of heaven in His glory to die on a cross for you, to pay the price of your sin. He didn't have to, but He loved you, and so He did. Maybe this morning, you just want to surrender to this King, and you want to belong to Him. He tells us to just call out to Him from a broken heart. And allow Him to enter in. It's an abstract thing, but it's real. And you'll know it when it happens. Because you will be different. You'll start thinking differently. You'll start seeing differently. You'll start speaking differently. You'll start acting differently. There will be a change in how you see things and how you act. It's the power of the Word of God that we should not forget. All provided as God looked down on filthy, sinful man and said, I created them for special things. Now I'm going to save them for special things. Let's remember the Lord this morning. Any decision you need to make can be made where you stand or sit. But I will be here at the front to pray with you, counsel. The altar is open, but let's take time to consider our response to this morning's message. The praise band's going to lead us here in a moment. Father, we are humbled before You. We thank You that You give us opportunity to bow before Your holiness, exposed, the real us. Lord God, You're willing to wash us clean and to bring us near to You, even represent You in this world. I pray, Father, that we are willing to make the heartfelt commitment as the psalmist this morning's, I will not forget Your word, and I will make every effort to find delight in that word every time I look into it. Help me to live it. Help me to be representative for You. Help me to be a walking Bible for those around me that do not know You. Whatever Your commitment, Father God, we're asking that You help us to come to that place where it'll be real for us as we depart from this place into our community. Be glorified through our response this morning. Father, would be our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.